My boss used to say, years ago at Kaiser's Market, I love it when a plan comes together. And I love it when the Lord brings a plan together right from the get-go tonight. Bill talking about his mic. Last week I forgot to put mine on. And then he was talking about turning it on, and as soon as he said that, I reached in my pocket and turned mine on right there. So that was good reminders for me. Last week I didn't have it. This week I had it, but I didn't have it turned on. So the Lord reminded me through all of that. And you know, in the psalm that Bill read, it just goes perfectly with this chaos that we live in and this comfort we have in the Lord and the joy that's there. And that's the title of our message tonight, The Joy of the Lord. And so we've kind of gotten past, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, some of the struggles, some of the things that are coming that are chaos, that this man of lawlessness and the restrainer and all of that that we've been looking at, and this desecration of the temple and all of these things and this wickedness in the world and the judgment that's coming and the judgment for those that have rejected the gospel, the gospel of truth, and the trouble that's coming for those who have loved wickedness instead. And don't we see that in our world today? But you know, the Apostle Paul, we're going to look at a section tonight from 13 through 15 where he kind of makes this transition from that chaos to believers. Because the first two words are, but. So there's a transition statement here. We're going to think about something else tonight. The joy of the Lord. Because we are in Christ. You know, the beginning, on the, I noticed that I love it when the plan comes together. And that reference in that song we just sang, Revelation, says, I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever. And I think there's an exclamation point at the back of that. Now I'm alive in Christ. And so this joy of the Lord, the theme being we are in Christ. And I love it when the plan comes together. Because Bill mentioned, and this is my proposition, he already mentioned it for me tonight. Think on these things. He said that. We're going to think on these things tonight. And so there's some serious things we want to think about, but there's joy in them. There is, the Lord is there. Despite the chaos, the Lord's promise to us is that He is always with us. He'll never forsake us. Now I belong to Jesus. And there's joy in that. There's joy in that. You know, I mentioned in my Sunday school class this morning, this kind of day all kind of runs together. I heard it this week. Satan wants to, we looked at last week, the counterfeit of the incarnation, the counterfeit that Satan tries to bring, you know, and imitate God and all of those things. And sin is no different. You know, and I heard this guy say this week that sin is really counterfeit joy. It's just counterfeit joy. The devil wants you to think it's a pleasurable thing and wants you to enjoy it and wants you to just live in it and think this is fun, this is joy. But that he doesn't tell you that joy is not for eternal purposes. That joy is to please the flesh now and then it's over. But sin is counterfeit joy. And we don't live there as believers. The Apostle Paul said, but we. And so we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to read what we went over last week and then lead into our verses tonight because there is that contrast of his thought, this contrast of what he has been talking about versus what he is going to transition to. So we'll begin there in verse 6 and we will read down through verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it reads this way from God's word to us tonight. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed, or in his due measure. That talking about that sovereignty of God and that overall plan that God is in control, no matter what it looks like, God is in control of these things. And in that due measure of time, he will be revealed when God is ready for that and when God has ordained that and makes that happen. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. In God's time, he will be revealed. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. We talked about that imitation of the incarnation. He is completely controlling this man, Satan is, but it's just a feigned incarnation. It isn't like Jesus Christ at all. Jesus is God, and God lived in the flesh, and it was an amazing thing. We don't understand that, but God was in our midst and walked amongst us and experienced what we experienced so he could sympathize with us. And then even though he didn't deserve to die, he was the only one that didn't sin. He willingly went to the cross and did that for us and died there and paid the price. Our sin laid on him so that his righteousness could be imputed to us. It's a great doctrine that we need to understand and just rejoice in. Because as the world would tell us today, you deserve this, but the Bible tells us that we don't deserve this, but God chose to do it anyway. Because he chooses to love. And he found a way to save those that were lost in sin and dead. That's the one coming in accordance with Satan, with all power and with signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And they heard it, but they said, as we talked about last week, you know what, I understand that, I know what you're talking about, but I don't really need that. I've run into those people. Sounds good, but why would I want that? I'm fine. Helen's favorite song would be, "The Truth Be Told," we're not. And the truth is rarely told. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we, Paul included himself and Silas and Timothy, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So, he's made this transition, thanking the Lord in prayer. We're going to look at that. He talked about that earlier in this book and in the first book too. But we should always give thanks to the Lord, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, so that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And we'll look at this joy of the Lord in Christ. And we'll think on these things tonight. Think on these things tonight. We have a lot to think about tonight. Let's pray before we begin. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time and your sovereign planning of all the events of the day. And tonight, you're bringing these folks here tonight and on Facebook to think on these things. There is joy everlasting, full of glory in you, and we want to think on the proper things tonight, and we want to be encouraged with these tonight. In the midst of chaos, there is a transition, there is a breaking of what happens out there. Even though we're in the world, we're not of this world, because we are in you, even though we are here in the world still. And we've looked at that. We're looking forward to seeing you, and we long for your appearing. But Lord, now we're still here, but there's still joy. There's joy in you. And we want to think properly. Help us to think biblically. Help us to think according to your word and not our circumstances and not necessarily our emotions or how we feel today, but the truth of your word that is the solid ground that we stand on. The truth of your love for us and the salvation that you have freely given to us in Christ. The price is paid in full. And there's joy and assurance and there's stability and there's hope and all of that. So we thank you for that and praise you tonight. Guide us and direct us and teach us tonight from your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we're going to talk a little bit, it's actually quite a bit, because it's mentioned twice in here, both chosen and called. So we have to talk about election tonight, or choosing. And, you know, got thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of people that choose their, I see about the grocery store, they go to the counter and they choose their lottery numbers. And they choose their Powerball number and their ticket. I've never done that, but I see people do it. And I'll see a guy go, I just saw it this week. I was out at Kroger, and a guy got a ticket and he won $2, and he didn't take the $2. He said, give me two more tickets. And I need to try again. Well, I looked up some lottery winners. And you think there's joy in that lottery win. Whoa, there's joy here. I've won the lottery. Well, just one example. William Bud Post III. He was a carnival worker. He spent time in jail. He was down to his last few bucks. He was 40 years old, and he bought a lottery ticket, chose some numbers, and he won $16 million. In less than 6 months, it was all gone. His friends were gone. He didn't really have any friends that he thought were friends. And the joy that he felt for a moment, that counterfeit joy in the money and the prestige, was gone in less than 6 months. He did stuff like he bought a twin-engine jet even though he didn't have a pilot's license. He would see a computer or a laptop that he loved, and he loved it so much he'd buy 60 of them. Just wasted his money and it was gone in 6 months, and he died bankrupt at 66 from cancer and influenza, with no joy left in his life. And that's just one case. There's many cases like that, where they think they have the joy and it's just a counterfeit joy. I'll tell you where joy is. I witnessed it today. I love it when a plan comes together. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And today Helen and I had those little ones in our class. I took my bunny rabbit in there and we passed it around and I said, what do you love a lot? Well, we got dinosaurs. We got sharing with my brothers. My favorite one was from Hopi. She said, I love my house. You know why I think she loves her house? Because her family's there. There's joy in relationship. There's joy in togetherness. There's joy in fellowship with the creator of the universe who brought that to us because he chose us. Not like a lottery number, but he chose us. And we'll look at that. And we're going to look at 3 points tonight. The beginning, we'll look at that. And we are going to look at being beloved by God and belonging to God. Those three B's. So we'll start with the first, in the beginning. And that kind of is in the middle of our first verse. It says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because he has chosen you from the beginning. Okay, the beginning is from God, God's redemptive plan. Paul says, our thanks go to God alone. He says, for we should give thanks to God. And it's the same thing as in verse 3 of chapter 1 of this same book. It said, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren. Kind of repeating that same thought. And that word just means we're under obligation, we're bound, we owe this to the Lord in thanksgiving for all he's done. We want to think upon you and pray for you. And this beginning, when you think of beginnings, you think of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. No. This was before that. This was before that. Way before that. We don't know when it was, but it was before that. That God set his love. You know who God set his love upon? Before the beginning of time, on you. He chose you. And then, Romans 5:5 says, he not only chose you, but at the proper time, he poured his love into you. So God chose you, and this word chosen is a little different word than is usually used in the New Testament. You know what this word chosen means? This word means that He chose you for His own possession. He chose you for His own possession from the very beginning. God chose you for His own possession. Not that He saw that you would do any good. He chose you because He chose you. That's hard for us to understand. Not that He saw that you would be a good person. That's not what His choosing is. God told Moses, I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy, and I'll show compassion upon whom I'll show compassion. How dare we question God's choice, but we do, don't we? But God chose you and me. And God chooses anyone that He wants and then saves him at that time in life whenever He wants. But God chooses us for His own possession. And He chose us to receive salvation. You know what that word means? Rescue, safety, delivered from danger. You know what it's delivered from? The wrath of God. You've been talking about that. We are saved. God saved us from Himself. Because God is God and He is holy and perfect and set apart and all sin will be judged and we are born sinners. And so we do many sinful things. And God has come to rescue us from that. Chose to save us from Himself. And paid the price Himself for you and for me. God loves you. He paid that price. He loves you and He chose you for His own possession. You know what else He chose you for? I wrote this down. For presentation before Him and for eternal keeping. We'll be in His presence one day. And we'll be there forever one day in His presence. And we're eternally kept with that. Let's think on those things. The world out here is in chaos. But God has promised us an eternal presence with Him in joy and worship of Him. And we'll understand better then. You know, I think that day when we see Christ and we realize not only the eternal view that's before us in His presence in joy forever, but what it took for us to be there, no wonder we'll worship Him forever and ever. Because I don't think we have the half of the idea of the awfulness of sin and the weight of the price that He had to pay because He loved us and chose us for His own possession. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2 and verse 5 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens. That's really us, aliens on this planet, that could, because we don't belong here. We are in the world, but not of the world. And we're scattered throughout, he says, Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, who were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. He's going to talk about that in Thessalonians, Paul is, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Chosen to receive the Spirit and His work within us. He talks about that. He says, but we also give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So this sanctification, you know, you want to know what the will of God is? The will of God is the sanctification of your life and being set apart more and more for the Lord. People often say, I wished I knew what the will of the Lord was. I just wished I had a sign. Good old Gideon, he had that fleece out there that was wet and dry. Why couldn't he just give me a cloth, a wet and dry, and then I'd know what to buy? But it's more than that. It's sanctifying work of the Spirit to be more and more like Jesus Christ our Savior, to be growing, to be more in His image, and to be more set apart for the things of the Lord, and to live and to interact with people and to worship the Lord and to sin less and to just grow in our Christian walk. And so he says, chosen to receive the Spirit and His work, the sanctification, to be set apart for and to God and growing throughout our life to holiness. It's a lifelong process. But you know what it isn't a lifelong process of? Yes, it's work. It's discipline. But it's a lifelong if we're truly believers, and I want you to think about this, is it for you? It's a lifelong journey of joy with the Lord. And I just want to ask you tonight, do you look forward to that time with the Lord when you just sit down and just with your Bible and you and Him, and you just talk to Him and just spend some time with Him? That should be our desire, just to be in His presence and enjoy. You know, this week I was in my office at home for a little while, and I was reading and praying, and then, you know, sometimes it gets a little close encounter there, and I like to walk with the dogs to the woods. And you know, just that day I said, okay, I'm gonna go do that right now. And before I walked out the door, before I left my office, I just said, Lord, I'm gonna go outside, and I'm just gonna marvel at all that's before me, because you made it all for me. To see, to enjoy. Here is the testimony of who you are, the great creator of all the universe, the only true and living God. And I'm going to just go outside, and everything I look at, I'm going to attribute to you put it there. How amazing. What a testimony of who you are, your greatness. Because it's all before me today. And I'm going to go look at it today. And not think about other things, but I'm going to think about you as I walk today. And wonder at who you are. And the joy that I know that. That's our God that He's brought into our lives, this joy. And the chaos can be all about us, but we can have that joy in that fellowship with the Lord. Be set apart for God, to growing throughout our life into this holiness. 2 Peter 3:18, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But our part, we have a part. It's abiding close to Him. It's submitting. It's obeying. Because God has placed in us a desire to do that. To do so. A desire to please the Lord is given to us by the Lord. And you know, I think that's part of that sanctifying work. Because I see that more and more in my own life, that the Lord puts thoughts in my head while I'm reading His Word or while I'm praying, and I just know that I should go do that. Or I know that I should write that note. Or I know that I should make that phone call. Because that's what the Lord wants me to do. And I just feel that from His Word and say yes. Or He brings a person's name before me, and I just know that I should stop and pray for them right now. And God brings those. I touched that on my hip. And I'll not do that again. The Lord brings that we are to be abiding and submitting and be obedient to God's Word, because God has placed that desire in us. I hope you feel that desire, and I hope you're obedient to that desire. And that faith, He says faith in the trusting in what we know to be true. You know, now we see because God has opened our eyes to the gospel. You know, and later we'll look at that, this gospel, and I'll just get there right now. This gospel, it talks about this gospel that's brought to us. I read this week, one commentator said, it's just like it's this gospel, you didn't figure it out. You didn't have a formula. You didn't go looking for it, but God dropped it in your lap because He called you to it. He just dropped it on you. And there it is. And you're changed forever because God chose you, because God poured His love into you, and He dropped the gospel message, and He opened your eyes and your ears to receive it. And the world would say, oh yeah, you've been a good person, you deserve it. And I'd say, no, we don't. But God chooses to do that. And there's joy in that. There's humility that there should be on our part in that. So in the beginning, He says, God has chose you from the beginning, chosen you for His own possession, for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit. He gives us a Spirit too that lives within us. And faith in the truth. We continue to trust the truth of God's Word. It was for this He called you through our gospel. So we're beloved of God. You know, in John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. And then in Romans 5:8 it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans 8:39 it says, we will never be separated from this love of God. We'll never be separated from that. Beloved by God, so much so that He died for us, so much so that He will never let us be separated from Him. Don't you think we should think on that more than just when we're saved? Don't you think we should think on that daily? On the privilege we have of being chosen by God. You know, we didn't win the lottery. We won something much better. We were given something much, much better. Because it had an eternal cost, and we don't have to repay it. And even if we tried to spend it, we'd never be able to spend it all, because it's eternal, the love of God that He's given to us and the joy that He's given to us. So in His love, He chose you. Then He called you, a personal summons by God to partake in the blessing of Him. This call comes through the preaching of His Word, the gospel, the truth of the good news that brings salvation, the good message. I've already mentioned this, dropped down from God to you. And the best part is, the joy is, this call is through people, through you and me. You know, we were talking about that today in Sunday school class, in my Sunday school class, that it's Bill and I's job to study the Word and to expound upon the Word and to feed you the Word and to build the saints up. But we're doing that not to just make you feel good today, to equip you to go out and be used of God, because God wants to use you to call those that He's planned to call. And if you are a believer, I have a missionary story that I do at the clubs. Right now I'm doing the Girl in the Goat House up at Prairie Heights. But you know, that's a missionary in a faraway land, but if you're a believer, you are a missionary. You should have that mindset. That you could be used of God. God uses people like you and me, everyday people, He uses to call those to the gospel of truth, to salvation. And you know what else God uses? God uses your prayers. God uses your prayers and my prayers, and God chooses to... Some people say, well, God's sovereign, everything's all planned out, why should we pray? Because God has told us to pray, and prayer is somehow connected, and God is sovereign, but He chooses to use you, and He chooses to use prayer in His sovereign plan. So prayer is important. God wants us to pray. Jesus prayed. And if we're to be growing more and more like Him, we should sneak off to the woods and spend all night praying. Well, I've got a woods, but I've never been out there all night praying. Maybe we should spend some more time doing that and think on the things that are right in His sight. So we're called to Himself. That's redemption. We're called to forgiveness. We're called to this personal relationship. And He says there, too, it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. To gain glory. Glory means, this word means honor. So we praise and we honor the Lord. So it's not our honor, but His honor that we participate in. His honor that we participate in. And so this glory is really, if God is holy and perfect and right and completely righteous, and this righteousness is imputed to us, I think we participate in that glory, in that imputed righteousness that's here in us now. God's glory, God's holiness. It isn't something we see, but that righteousness that is Jesus, that is glorious and beautiful and joyful, is imputed to us now. And then, so it's imputed now, and it's seen then. To see Him in His glory is to be made like Him and participate with Him in glory. One day we will see Him as He is, and we will be changed to be like Him. We will behold His glory, and we will be changed to participate in that glory. I think a great example of that, I was just reading through Exodus not that long ago, and it's just so interesting that Moses came down from the mountain and he didn't realize his face was glowing. And can you imagine the people? They said, "Whoa, aren't you bright today? You stayed a little too long in the tanning booth, Moses." And he covered his face with a veil until he came out of the tent. He would take it off when he went in with the Lord. And just, can you imagine that glory that was God that he stood there before affected him? And that righteousness, the glory of God, his holiness that lives within us, you know, that should affect us. People should see that righteousness shining forth from our lives. Now, in our interaction with people in the world, they should see that. We're told to be lights of the world. I think that's that righteousness that lives within us. We that's imputed to us now, and then it will be seen when we see him in glory. So we're called by his love to receive his love, and I want to submit to you tonight to share his love. You know, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. The opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. To share his love is that agape love, a self-sacrificial love, a love that gives of itself and expects no payment in return. We couldn't pay him back anyway. That's God's love that's poured into us, that we've received by no merit of our own, that now we should give freely to those in the world. And that's just, God calls us to share the gospel because he's poured that love into us and he's called us to be that light, to display his righteousness. Not perfect yet, because we aren't perfect people. We're to be growing in that, but we aren't. We'll never gain that perfect, sinless perfection here. We'll be that when we're in heaven and see him in his glory and be changed and participate with that. Beloved by God. It's a great thought. Think on that. Beloved by God and belonging to God. And he says, "It was for this that he called you through our gospel, so that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, since then, since this is so," is basically what he's saying. "So then, brethren, stand firm, hold, be stationary, persevere, stand your ground." 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14 says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." Let all that you do be done in love. Love that's been poured into you. You belong to God, and so you should be displaying God-like character. Hebrews 3:6 says, "Firm to the end, keep standing firm. Hold on to the traditions." He says that in the last part of this verse. Sometimes, you know, traditions can... I was reading some about that this week in my dictionary, in a biblical dictionary, and traditions can have a negative connotation. You know, like Jesus said, you know, you hold to the traditions of men rather than the Word of God. And there are traditions that we have, you know, today, like, oh, I don't know, what would be current? Lent? You know? I've heard people say, "I'm giving up Diet Coke for Lent, so I'll be closer to God for a few weeks." Silly things that we hold to that are traditions that aren't biblical and aren't true. Those are the negative. But this tradition that he's talking about here, what was made known by God or handed down or entrusted to Paul from God, and Paul was faithful to deliver or relate to them what he had received from God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, talks about that. It says, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word," or stand firm in that tradition, "which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And listen what he says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." It wasn't Paul's message, even though he says it's our gospel. It was our gospel because we had believed and entrusted what God had made known to us, what God had revealed in special revelation to the Apostle Paul. And he was the Apostle Paul. And he went off for the Christology seminary with Jesus or with God, taught him many things that we probably don't even understand today, but he was a special man that God used in a special way, and he was faithful to deliver the message of God. In fact, it says in 1 Thessalonians that they had received it as such. It says in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not for the word of men, not traditions of men, not their ideas, not their wisdom, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." And what was that message? Well, he goes on to tell you there in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, according to God's word and message, according to God's tradition, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, according to what God revealed to me. I was faithful to deliver these first and the most important things to you, and you received it for what it exactly was, the word of God. This isn't a tradition of man. This is the word of God. It's alive, it's active. It's powerful. It's eternal. It will not pass away. It will accomplish what it is intended to go out and accomplish. So hold on and think upon these things. What was taught, that Paul taught, that God caused to be learned and received. And God opened hearts. And just a footnote on this calling and election, just I want to just make sure that we understand completely what, you know, some people would say election, oh, that's not right. That's, you know, election has so many positive things to it because it's from God. It crushes pride. It crushes pride. I did this. I figured this out. It crushes pride. It exalts God. This is all of God, for God's glory, by God. It is all of God. It exalts God. It brings joy. You mean God chose me. I sat this week in my office with a friend of mine for a while. By the way, I love my office. I thought I loved my office at home, but I found a new home. They're both nice in their own way. I was sitting there with him this week. And I said, you know, thinking on these things this week, and my life that I've wasted. But God chose me a long time ago. If I didn't realize it, God's faithful, even when I ain't. God's powerful, even when I ain't. And God doesn't give up on you. Or me. God can do anything. I stand before you here today as the testimony to that. God chooses. It exalts him. It brings joy. It brings unimagined privilege as citizens of heaven now, of in the family of God, of inheriting all that Christ is. It promotes holiness. God said to Abraham long ago, "I am the Lord Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." It promotes holiness when we understand who God is and what He's called us to. It promotes a desire to do that. It provides security in the promises of God. Well, the application. Think on these things. Philippians 4, that's the classic place to go, I think, when it says think on these things. The Apostle Paul says there in chapter 4 of Philippians, starting with verse 5, "Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the joy of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatever is true, think on these things. Whatever is honorable, think on these things. Whatever is right, think on these things. Whatever is pure or holy, that's God too. Think on these things. Whatever is lovely, That's God. Whatever is of good repute, only God is good. If there is any excellence, only God is excellent and perfect and right in all that he does. If anything is worthy of praise, and God alone is worthy of our praise, think on these things, dwell on these things. Constantly have these things before your mind and heart. So I made a list. God's word, God's love and his call for you, God's unchanging faithfulness, your position now versus then, your privilege as God's child, your power, and that just simply means the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to say no to sin, the joy of the Lord, for I am in Christ. Don't listen to the lie of the world. Don't listen to the counterfeit joy that it offers. Don't listen to Satan's half-truths. Think on the things of God. And I would also say, don't grow cold. Don't grow cold. Stay passionate for the things of the Lord. Stay passionate for his word. Make them precious. A possession that you prize, his word and your position in Christ, and all because God chose you. Think on these things. Three quick final thoughts. You talked about that in here of standing firm. And I want to add two more to that. Stand firm. Stand close. Stand close to the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us here. He doesn't want us here. You know, so many people say, I only want God to get so close to me. You'll draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Stand firm. Stand close. And stand in joy. Like those little kids today. You know, there's such joy in the hearts of children. There's a little, told the story in Sunday school this morning. I'll finish with this. This little girl up at Prairie High, she's a kindergartner. There's always one in your club that's just like the apple of your eye. Claire Swander. Precious little thing. And she comes every week. And she tries so hard to say that memory verse. She can't read yet. She tries so hard. She'll get up next to me and she goes, I think I know it, Temple Boyle. I think I do this week. She'll try to say that memory verse. There's no greater joy than that, to see just a desire to be standing close to the Lord. We should all be like that. Things of the Lord excite us, and we want to try so hard to stand firm, to stand close, to stand in joy. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word, and thank you for this week, and for the joy of just studying and praying and just what you teach us. Lord, I want to encourage these folks tonight to hear and on Facebook Live to stand in that joy and to think on these things and our position in Christ in you. What great things that you have just so freely given to us because you chose to. You chose us. We praise you tonight and thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.